Accession number 16673, Reel 3.
Mr. Aylard, Reel 3.
The food was running short. We'd had coal made available to us, which wasn't of the highest grade, of course, but never mind, it was just about up to required standards. However, we asked about food, and they said, well, the people of Archangel obviously had had a very thin time because they were cut off largely by the Russians from the rest of Russia, and of course Leningrad, which is not so very far away from Archangel, had been subject to a desperate siege, and supplies, Leningrad hadn't got very much food then, which was a much bigger town. Archangel similarly suffered, but not perhaps to quite the same extent. Anyway, the Russians said to us, we had to kill all the dogs last winter, and we are desperately short. So, you know, you have to consider yourself very lucky if we give you anything at all. You really ought to bring your own food. They had a point, of course, because the Russians did have a terrible time. Nevertheless, we did get limited stocks of food from the Russians, and of course, obviously the Royal Navy supplied us with food. But nothing was easy because it all had to come from the UK, and there was a fair chance, of course, that some of our food might get sunk just as easily as the ships bringing the munitions. I don't recall it as exceedingly hard life or very tedious, but nevertheless, the diet was a bit boring and uninspiring.
Did you go ashore in Archangel?
We went ashore in Archangel. It was a town which was built very largely of wood, of course, because the one material they've got there in vast quantities is timber. And you'd find that the roads were made of timber, and the houses, the sidewalks. It was all rather, as I say, not to be unfair, but it wasn't a great centre of wealth. You could see that they scraped a difficult living in the area, and it existed through the fact that it was a very useful port. There was not a lot to do. The Russians did give us a certain amount of entertainment, and canteens were open, that sort of thing, but there was nothing to buy. Nothing much to see, and of course they were very, very security conscious, and if you went out you had to go through Russian patrols, and of course having exceedingly little Russian, if any, we were told to say that we were Angluski Matros, which meant an English sailor, and you heard please and thank you and little odd words like that, but of course they had no English either, so conversation was only, you could only convey what you meant by sign language on many occasions. I can remember the odd word, but clearly that communication was difficult.
Any incidents that happened to you ashore?
No, we didn't get into any incidents. The Russians were not overly friendly, and of course when it came to unloading ships we weren't involved in that, naturally enough, but they had great difficulty in finding sufficient labour to unload the ships, and consequently, having got the ships there, we felt it was rather unfortunate, to put it mildly, that they weren't able, ready and willing to unload and send the material to the front. There was a sort of lackadaisical atmosphere, and the people that were involved in unloading were not trained. They were convicts and criminals, and it made up some of the force, so that although obviously the ships were unloaded, it wasn't done with the greatest of dispatch or efficiency, and there was a feeling that of course throughout Russia that we ought to be opening another front. In other words, we ought to be getting to grips with the German army in Europe to a way which we're not. And this was 1942, and at that time Stalin was pressing Roosevelt and Churchill for a second front now, when we absolutely just could not do such a thing because we had not got the means to do it, the landing craft and trained forces, etc. All this took time to put together. Eventually, we did a very satisfactory landing, of course, in 1944. But 1944 was a long way off, and the Russians felt they were carrying an unfair burden, which one could only agree that we would do what we could, and that was bring them materials.
Did you do any bartering with the citizens?
I can't recall that we did any bartering. No doubt this did go on for cigarettes and that sort of thing, but at this juncture I can't recall anything of that nature.
Any entertainments?
There were entertainments, but of course it was Russian in Russian. It was Russian singing or Russian dancing. The Russian dancing was interesting, and they obviously, if you're having a party with people, you don't have to necessarily speak their language in order to have a good time. But it was very, entertainment was on a very limited basis.
Any other things you need to say about Ashore in the USSR?
We did manage to get telegrams sent back to the UK, which was nice to know. They used to arrive with no indication anywhere on the form in England as to where they'd been sent from. It was just sent from British forces overseas, and that was that. My parents knew where I was, and they knew that I was alive. But apart from that, one could write letters in the vain hope that they might get through to England fairly quickly. I seem to recall that they did get through, but it took a long while. And of course, one was restricted very much in what one could say. No indication as to where we were or what we'd been through, anything like that, just to say that we were lucky to be alive and hope to see them soon. We did get up games, cricket and football games between the ships, and also there was boat rowing races with boats. And also we had a small sailing dinghy, as did one or two other ships. And there was a limited amount of exercise. I did manage to sail our dinghy on the River Dvina, which is the river that goes through Archangel. And the weather, of course, being high summer, there was no problem there. But we knew that we'd had to wait for an indefinite period because after the disaster, the PQ-17, it was quite clear that nobody else wanted to risk a similar catastrophe in the hours of daylight, such as we had had, and that it was thought that the earliest that we could run another convoy would be September, when the hours of darkness would be lengthening, and also a sufficiently powerful force could be found to come and help us to get out. There were so many other requirements and calls for help on the part of the Navy. The Navy was working hard to keep Malta going, and escorts which had taken us to the point of scattering returned to the UK, only to find that they were immediately sent on to work in the Mediterranean, and that it was only when Malta had been either, I don't think it was actually relieved at that time, but it was at least supplied with difficulty, that forces could be then released to come back and help on the Russian front. So it was September, middle of September, before we could move out, and we got there sometime about the middle of July, say the 12th or 15th of July, and it was 12th, 15th September, so there was 8 weeks at least before we could get back to normal duties. Life did get a bit tedious.
Did you return in a convoy? Or
yes, we returned in a convoy. It was the next convoy. It was there was a convoy. We were PQ-17. Then PQ-18 followed, and that convoy had an aircraft carrier, a small aircraft carrier, with it. They had a bad time, but nothing like as bad as we did. We formed into a convoy of empty ships, or partially empty ships. I think there were some ships carried timber, but there was not a lot that could come back from Russia to the UK that was of value. It was a great thing was to get the ships back. If they could bring something, so much the better, but there was no point in waiting for cargo, and of course the Russians were not looking for trade in the normal sense. All they were doing was trying to keep the Germans out of the country. we came back in a fairly orderly way. The highlight of it was one morning I was on watch between 4 and 8, and I was aware that there was certain movements in the water which I didn't quite understand. In other words, it was a torpedo, a German submarine had fired a whole salvo of torpedoes from astern, and these were the torpedoes were coming up, catching up on the convoy, and you could see that one of them was breaking surface, and I gave an alarm to the whole ship's company to come to action stations, and at that moment one torpedo struck home, one of the group in the subway struck home. It hit a British escort vessel, a British fleet minesweeper, the HMS Leader, and she was torpedoed quite close to us, and we immediately went to her assistance and rescued quite a few people from that ship. They were lucky, I think, in a way, that there was a fair number were rescued, but it was a rather difficult process, of course, pulling people out of the water. It's always the case that people covered with oil fuel and that sort of thing, it's very difficult to get hold of anybody. We had what were called scrambling nets, which was a net with fairly substantial ropes to it, which people could climb up and get out of the water. Otherwise, you'd have people only perhaps 6 feet below you, and they were swimming, and you couldn't get hold of them. But these scrambling nets, of course, enabled them to come up to you, and you could also go down to meet them and pull them on board. I have some pretty strong recollections of trying to get hold of people out of the water, covered in fuel oil, and it's a very heartening process, worrying process, I should say, when you feel that you've got hold of somebody and his strength is evaporating rapidly, and that unless you get him out first go, he may not be able to get out at all. We did have difficult moments like that, and of course when you did get these people on board, they were completely exhausted, half frozen, covered in oily clothes, and perhaps they had ingested some oil, and were not feeling very fit, and we hadn't got a medical officer on board. It was all rather worrying and tension making. However, we did save a number of people, and we did certainly help to pick up the personnel from the Leader. Apart from that, the convoy back home was moderately uneventful. The Germans did come and look at us, but they weren't worried so much about empty ships. It was the full ones that they gave their attention to. So we arrived back in the UK and had some leave. But, that was the only Russian convoy that we went on. After that, we were then sent to work in Canada for a year in the Gulf of St. Lawrence, which was much more mundane and ordinary, but at least you didn't have to pull out survivors out of the water covered in oil or stand more than the average risk of getting torpedoed.